So She Talks is a collaboration with the Southwest Ohio Council for Higher Education. It's an effort to bring Miami Valley research and thinking into the public arena, a way to enlighten the world with local knowledge. This week, Doug Real, director of physical plant and facilities at Edison Community College, talks about how conservation efforts there have helped cut energy usage, cost, and CO2 output.
Edison began an active effort at energy conservation in 2006. With the installation of a computerized building management system and digital controls on the major HVAC equipment. This gave us the ability to monitor the operation of the air handlers, to adjust supply air settings, and to easily set and adjust equipment operating schedules, and also track electric and gas usage. Once you have a building management system, you then have to actively use its capabilities to generate operational savings. Let me give you a couple examples. We were tracking energy usage per square foot and noticed that our newest LEED design building was using more energy than any other building on campus. Since the HVAC system was the single largest user of energy, we decided to focus on that and began monitoring the four rooftop units. Two units were operating just fine, but the other two were constantly oscillating between air conditioning and electric heat. What was happening is we'd have a supply air setting of about 65 degrees, and the units were set up to try to maintain that with either adding heat or adding cooling. But as this would operate, as the temperature got above the set point, the air conditioning would say come on. It would cool the temperature down well beyond the lower point, and then the heat would come on. And then at that point, each one of those had a time delay in them, and so they would run for 5 minutes and way overshoot the set point we were trying to get. So we had this constant oscillation between air conditioning and heat. After checking the commissioning reports, we found out the units were actually operating the way they were specified to be set up. The parameters were just set too tight. There was not enough time delay programmed in, which caused this constant oscillation. The one relatively minor programming error was causing the building to use twice as much electricity as needed. What we learned is not to assume that just because a professional sets something up that it must be right. You need to verify that your equipment is running as it's supposed to. The next example is another simple thing that you can do to generate large savings. Edison has 17 large air handlers that provide heating and cooling to all the campus buildings. The campus is open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., and we knew from past experience that if we shut all the units off at 10 p.m., that on hot summer nights it took 2 to 3 hours to get the major classroom areas back to temperature so that all the units would be set to come on about 4 a.m. This was logical, but we decided to do trials to see just how long each unit took to cool down their respective areas. For example, we tested the theater unit and found that it could get to its set point in 24 minutes. The campus opens at 7 a.m. Most events don't start till 8 a.m. or after. We found that we could start the unit at 7 a.m. instead of 4 a.m. and have the area comfortable in plenty of time. This was one small change that had no cost, no negative impact, and each year saves 900 hours of runtime, 27,000 kilowatt hours, over $2,000 on the electric bill, and 7,600 tons of CO2 emissions. The next area I want to talk about is equipment upgrades. The first project was replacement of our parking lot lights. Edison's parking lot lights were about 20 years old, required a lot of maintenance, were not very efficient, and no longer put out much light. We needed to upgrade the lighting, but we were also hoping to get more efficient fixtures, so we looked at three alternatives: LED, induction, and T5 outdoor fluorescent. We actually did trials where we took the different fixtures and installed them on our campus so we wouldn't have to depend on manufacturers' claims, but would actually see the performance under our conditions and could meter the light output. Of the three alternatives, the T5 fluorescents gave us the most light output, about triple the light output of the current fixtures, and the lowest energy usage, about one-third of the current wattage, and actually cost the least of the three options. In addition, this project qualified for a $7,000 DP&L rebate. This was a very easy decision, better lighting, lower energy usage, and a project that had less than a two-year payback. The next project I want to talk about is a continuous scrolling chiller compressor. One of our chillers was 25 years old, getting to be a regular maintenance problem, and we wanted to replace it. And since chillers are big energy users, we decided to see if we could also get something more efficient. A little background on chillers. Older chillers are most efficient when they're under close to full load. Just to start them up, even if there's no load, requires about 60% of the usage of full load. We decided to try a fairly new technology, which is called continuous scrolling chiller, which means it can efficiently run at any load from 10% to 100%. This gave us a significant electricity savings during all the non-peak periods, since most of the time the chiller is running well below its capacity. Anytime in the spring, the fall, this time of year, the early morning or late evenings, there's really only about 8 to 10 hours of peak usage during the hot summer days. The next project is replacement of drives with variable frequency drives called VFDs. One of the biggest users of electricity on our campus is the large motors that drive the supply and return air fans for the HVAC systems. One of the best changes that we have made is putting VFDs, or variable frequency drive controllers, on these fan motors, which allows them to be run from 30% to 100% of their capacity. All HVAC equipment is designed in size for the maximum load it's likely to see. This works fine for many buildings, such as office buildings, because their design and their usage are the same and fairly consistent. College campuses, unfortunately, are not that way. During the summer, many classrooms sit empty all day long. Other areas, such as special use facilities, also have periods of very low utilization, even when the rest of the campus is busy. Take our gym as an example. It has a capacity of 1,500 people and has a large 27,000 CFM air handler. The gym is only used to capacity for typically three events per year, which total about 8 hours. The rest of the time, it's either empty or being used at 15% or less of its capacity. By putting a VFD on this unit, we can run it at about a third of its normal speed 99% of the time, which turns out to be a huge energy savings. The third and final topic is a different approach to control of classroom temperatures that can save significantly on summertime air conditioning costs with no significant effect on comfort levels. Over the past year, we have added occupancy sensors to all of the college's classrooms, which is a very common energy savings measure. The thing that is not so common is that not only do they control the lights, but they are tied into the building management system and can adjust the temperature set points based upon occupancy. During the summer, the classroom occupancy is very low, with some rooms going all day without any classes scheduled. With our new system, the occupancy sensor tells the building management system that the room is empty and the temperature set point is raised from 72 to 75 degrees. Since during the summer most of the rooms are empty, this significantly reduces the load on the air handler and the chiller that serves the area. When a room first becomes occupied, when the first person walks in, the set point goes back to 72 degrees and the room immediately starts to cool down. We saw a drop in our electricity usage this year for June, July, and August of about 10% from just this change. This has been just a brief sample of the things we have done at Edison to cut our energy usage in half. There are many more things that we did that there just is not time to go over. It takes some time and money, but there are numerous significant opportunities to cut your campus's energy costs. Some of the largest savings can be achieved at no cost at all. Of all of the projects that I mentioned, none of them had more than a 3.5-year payback. If you are interested in finding out any more details about anything I've talked about, feel free to give me a call. I would be happy to help in any way that I can. Thank you for your time.
Doug Reel with Edison Community College talking about conservation efforts going on there. Hear more talks at SOCHE.org.